Tonight, in I've Always Wondered, I'm going to answer two questions we have received which are related. Here is a direct quote of both questions. First of all, is there a pause from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 2 to allow for the fall of Lucifer? And the second question is titled A Question About Evil. If God is holy, righteous, and the creator of a perfect Lucifer and Adam, then ultimately the evil that precipitated them was made possible by their creator, correct? The questions are related because they both concern creation and they both concern Satan. To answer these questions, we're going to look at several passages. We're going to begin by reading two passages, John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, and Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. I invite you to open your Bibles to those passages, and for the reading of these first two passages, if you are able, I invite you to stand, and we stand in honor of God. We're going to begin with John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And now turning to Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, we read, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Let's pray. Father God Almighty, as we look into Your Word about creation and angelic beings, and even Satan himself, we pray, Father, that You would give us understanding, help us to know what You intend for us to know from Your Word, and help us, Father, to see in Your Word, especially who You are, and again, what You've done for us through Jesus. As we open Your Word tonight, may You encourage us. May You help us to enjoy the sure hope that is ours in Jesus. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, I begin with John chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 1 because the passages establish the truth that our triune God is the only uncreated entity. God has no beginning date and no end date. He has always been and He always will be. He is the first and the last. And He is the only one for whom that is true. Our triune God is uncreated, and absolutely everything else that exists is created. Concerning everything else being created, look again at John chapter 1. I'm going to read that passage inserting the name Jesus in place of the description of Him being the Word. We know that Jesus is the Word from the rest of the chapter. Reading it with the name of Jesus will simply give some clarity. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. That's a great verse about our triune God. But I especially want to focus on the next verses, quote, He, Jesus, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. That verse says Jesus has always existed, along with God the Father, and from other passages we know the Holy Spirit as well. So the triune God has always existed. And verse 3 says all things were made through Him. The word all things mean absolutely everything you can name or discover, all matter, all energy, all beings, all things were made through Him. And to emphasize that, it says everything that was made It was made by Him. Our triune God is the only uncreated entity. That verse declares that very clearly. He's the only uncreated entity. From that passage alone, we know that truth. Colossians confirms that truth with helpful statements about things invisible and powers. Listen to it again. Colossians says, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones, or dominions, or rulers, or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. The phrase, firstborn of all creation, does not mean Jesus was created. We just saw He was not created in the Gospel of John. The phrase means He has preeminence over all creation. He has authority over all creation. And it is specifically stated that He has preeminence over all dominions, rulers, authorities, visible, invisible. All such things were created by Him. Our triune God is the only uncreated entity. Now, since that is true, a second truth we can list is this: Satan was created by God. You probably already knew that, but I'm showing you from Scriptures how we know that truth. The passages we just read cannot be true without that being true. Satan was created by God. Now, what I want to show you next is that Satan is an angel. That's the kind of created being he is. We are human beings. Satan is an angelic being. You have probably heard this truth before as well. But again, maybe you have always wondered, well, how do we know the truth that Satan is an angelic being? Well, first of all, we know it from verses that associate Satan with the angels. For instance, in the Old Testament, a passage that associates Satan with the angels is Job chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. I have those verses on the screen in both the ESV and the NIV. In the ESV, the verses say, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, 'From where have you come?'" Now in the ESV, we don't see the term angels, do we? But look at how the NIV translates the same verses. Quote, "One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, 'From where have you come?'" The difference is obvious. The ESV has sons of God, and the NIV says angels. So which is correct? Well, the original Hebrew really does say the sons of God. So the ESV is giving us a very accurate translation. But with that translation, you have to ask, who are the sons of God? The only sensible conclusion is that they are the angels. The reason they are called sons of God is because they were all created directly by God. Meaning, angels don't have parents. You and I, everyone born after Adam and Eve, we were not created directly by God. We came into being via our parents. But the angels are different. They don't have angel parents. Each and every angel that exists was created directly by God. That's why they are called sons of God. The NIV simply gives that understanding in its translation. And we see in this passage that Satan was with them, which strongly implies that Satan is an angelic being. And another verse that associates Satan with the angels even more strongly is Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. The verse is the conclusion of the parable about the goats and the sheep. The verse says this, "Then he," God, Jesus, "will say to those on the left," on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This verse does not specifically say that Satan is an angel, but importantly, it does refer to some angels as his angels, meaning he rules over them. He has authority over them. So the extremely strong implication here is that Satan is likewise an angelic being. Now, along with these verses that associate Satan with the angels, there are two passages which I submit to you speak of Satan as an angel. The first passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. That verse says, "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Why? How? Because he's an angel. And look at the book of Jude with me. In verses 8 and 9, Jude is talking about false prophets. And he says concerning them, "Yet in like manner, these people also relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael contended with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" In this passage, a comparison is made between men slandering the glorious ones and Michael the archangel not slandering the devil, which must mean that the devil is a glorious one. And who are the glorious ones? Well, the only beings described that way are angels. Also in this passage, Michael is referred to as an archangel, and it seems that because of his rank, he is the one who disputed with Satan. When you put all of these passages together, passages that associate Satan with angels and describe him as an angel, the clear picture you get is that Satan is an angelic being, a powerful, evil, angelic being who is the leader of other evil, angelic beings. Now, what I'm going to show you next is that we can conclude that all angels, including Satan, were created on day one of creation, or at the very least, by day three. Look at the first verses of the Bible with me. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Those verses say, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." Now, these verses don't mention the creation of angels, but the first verse does mention the heavens and the earth. From the very first verses of the Bible, you have that distinction, heavens and earth. With that in mind, I want to take you to Psalm 148. Before I read you the first verses of this psalm, I want to show you a simple outline of the psalm. Verses 1 through 6 are a call for the Lord to be praised from the heavens. Verses 7 through 12 are a call for the Lord to be praised on the earth. Verses 13 through 14 explain why God should be praised. From that outline, notice the heavens and the earth are separate. They're addressed differently. God is to be praised from the heavens, and he is to be praised on the earth. With that in mind, listen to the first verses of Psalm 148, which are about the heavens. "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created." The angels are included as part of the heavens, as part of his creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we know angels are part of the heavens. With that in mind, I want to show you another passage. Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7 say this, Where were you? And this is, by the way, God speaking to Job. And so we hear God talking about himself, addressing Job. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. In verse 7, we again see that term, sons of God, which I've shown are the angels. And this passage reveals that they were present when God laid the foundations of the earth, knowing they are part of the heavens, knowing they saw, they witnessed the laying of the foundations of the earth. We can safely conclude that they were created by day 3 of the 6 days of creation, and I submit to you, it makes a lot of sense to conclude that they were created on the first day. Now, one of our questioners asks, is there a pause from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 1:2 to allow for the fall of Lucifer? I will now show you one important verse that reveals the answer to that question must be no. Satan did not fall between verse 1 and verse 2 of the first chapter of the Bible. The significant verse that makes this extremely clear is Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, which says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." At the end of day 6, everything was very good. And we've already concluded Satan and all his angels were made at least by day 3. Therefore, Satan and all the angels were still very good on day 6. Therefore, Satan must have fallen after day 6. There was not a period of time between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis during which Satan was created and then fell. Concerning the fall of Satan, I want to show you two interesting prophecies. One is Ezekiel chapter 28 and one is Isaiah chapter 14. We'll begin with Ezekiel chapter 28 verses 12 through 15. And to introduce us to this passage, I'm going to read to you what Dr. James Boyce once wrote about it. He introduces it very well, so I'm simply going to quote from him. Early in Ezekiel chapter 28, there is a prophecy against the prince or ruler of Tyre, an important ancient city on the Mediterranean coast. The person involved is obviously a human ruler. In fact, it is said of him, "You are a man and not a god." But after this prophecy, there is a heightened or extended prophecy against the king of Tyre, which does not at all appear to be dealing with a mere mortal. It seems to be dealing with Satan, or a satanic power that stood behind the earthly throne, just as, by contrast, God himself may be said to stand behind a godly ruler. So Boyce is saying two beings are referred to in the passage we're going to read. One a human king, and the other a power behind that king. Let's listen now to that prophecy and see if that makes sense. Ezekiel 28 says, "Son of man, raise a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you are the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God." Now think about that. What a human king have been in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of God. Goes on to say, every precious stone was your covering, sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, emerald, and carbuncle, and crafted in gold were your settings and your engravings. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed guardian cherub. Now that's not a human king, is it? Guardian cherub. I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire, you walked. You were blameless in your ways. That's another statement that does not fit a human king. For all humans we know are sinful from birth. But Satan, he was blameless at first. From the day you were created till unrighteousness was found in you. A fascinating prophecy. Some scholars are adamant it is only about a human king, but as I just pointed out, there are a lot of statements that are clearly not human. So you either have to say that these are grandiose descriptions of a human king, or you have to conclude that the passage is about both a human king and the power behind him, namely Satan. And that is what I submit to you. The passage makes most sense when you see it as referring to both a human king and Satan, which means we learn a lot about Satan in that passage. Satan was one of God's greatest creations. It says of him, you were a model of perfection, full of wisdom. And it also describes him as being perfect in beauty. It would be easy to believe from these verses that Satan may have been the ruler of all the other angels. Maybe he was once over Michael, the archangel. That we cannot be sure of. But one thing is for sure, Satan fell. He was blameless, and sadly, he became wicked. Unrighteousness was eventually found in him. That could not have happened until after the sixth day of creation. Understanding the meaning of that Ezekiel passage, I will now take us to another interesting prophecy. It is Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. I submit to you that this passage has the same dynamic as Ezekiel. It concerns an earthly king, specifically the king of Babylon. But the words suggest, again, a greater reference than merely the earthly king of Babylon. The prophecy says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. Above the stars of God, I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit." If this passage is indeed about Satan, then we not only learn that Satan fell, we learn why he fell. The passage reveals an increasing desire for power and glory. Verse 13 says that he wanted to ascend above the stars of God. That's probably a reference to the other angels. And it likely means that instead of being a humble servant leader of the other angels, he actually wanted to be like God and rule over them. And then in verse 14, it says that his thirst for power and glory did not stop with wanting to rule over the other angels like God, but that he actually wanted to replace God. He wanted to ascend above the tops of the clouds and become like the Most High. And since there can only be one Most High, well, that means he wanted to replace God. When reading this prophecy, one must wonder if Satan knew all of the ramifications of his desire. And one must wonder exactly when Satan knew he had become God's enemy. We don't know those things, but it is obvious that Satan fell. And again, that must have happened after the sixth day of creation. How long after the sixth day of creation? Well, probably not too long. Adam and Eve were told to be fruitful and multiply. Well, that didn't happen before the fall. And it's doubtful years would have gone by before that happened. So it was probably not long after the sixth day that Satan fell. Now, our other questioner this evening asks, if God is holy, righteous, and the creator of a perfect Lucifer and Adam, Lucifer, by the way, is just another term for Satan, and God did indeed create them perfect, we've seen that tonight. The questioner says, then ultimately, the evil that precipitated them was made possible by their creator, correct? My answer to this question is this. Instead of talking about God making possible evil, it would be better to talk about God making angelic beings and human beings with free will, which is good. By allowing for free will, God did, of course, allow for evil. That's part of free will. But my point is that with God, his purpose is always good. Everything God created was very good. Satan fell. Satan, before he fell, was completely able of remaining very good. He, by his free will, did not remain good. Did God know Satan would fall when God created him? Yes, he did. God knows everything before he does anything. But when speaking of how God created and why God created, we need to realize his purpose was good. God does allow for evil, but that does not in any way make him the creator of it. What God created was very good, and part of its goodness was free will. Evil came through angelic beings falling, and then through we human beings falling. That's what the Bible reveals. That is what should be emphasized. Every aspect of misery that we know is present because of the fall of Satan and our fall, our free will decision to go against God. That's why every aspect of misery is in this world. It all goes back to the fall. Now, such discussions typically lead to the question of why. Why would God allow for evil by creating beings with a free will? The answer to all those types of questions is this. We don't know, and we don't need to. We can know from the Bible that it's ultimately for God's glory. The Bible shows that very clearly. All that God does is ultimately for his glory. But beyond that, we don't know. We don't know the details, and we don't need to. God is not obligated to tell us everything or explain all of his actions. What he has revealed is that he created everything very good. Satan, by his free will, fell. And then we, by our free will, fell. That's all we need to know. Realizing that and accepting that truth is important. I will probably make that same statement or a statement like that with some other questions that we'll be looking at together down the road. It's fine to ask any question. I appreciate all the questions we are receiving, and I encourage all such questions. But when answering, sometimes We need to understand that God doesn't reveal everything, and that's okay. He is under no obligation to explain his actions to anyone. Now, whenever I talk about Satan, I always like to end on Jesus. I don't like to end on Satan. I like to end on Jesus. And so in closing, I'm going to remind us of another great truth, namely, Jesus, the Creator, is greater than Satan, the created. Jesus is greater than Satan. One passage which declares that truth is 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. The verses say, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." This passage doesn't talk about Satan, but Satan is certainly behind the Antichrist. And so what this passage says concerning the Antichrist is certainly true of Satan as well. And the truth is that Jesus and the Holy Spirit Jesus has filled us with, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are greater than Satan. Satan can tempt us. He can seek to do us harm. But if Jesus is our Savior and Lord, if Jesus is our King, if His Spirit fills us, then we are safe in the grip of Jesus. And someday, we will see Satan, the enemy, put under Jesus' feet. Praise be to Jesus. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, we are thankful for what you have revealed to us, that you are the uncreated Creator, and that you made all things very good. And Father, we thank you too for revealing our sin, our treachery against you, and also Satan and other angels' treachery against you. We thank you for revealing this truth to us so that we might understand your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your goodness that you have shown us in Jesus. We thank you for this understanding so that we might rightly know that you are holy and good in all that you do, that all your purposes are right and beyond reproach. And Father, we pray that you would help us, help our minds and hearts to accept these truths and glorify and honor you. We're so thankful that we can rest in your sovereign care for us, knowing that you are greater. In these days, again, as we think about these days we're in, the misery people are experiencing, we know where that misery has come from. We're so thankful, Father, that you have given us salvation, that you are greater, and that one day you will again bring about a place of perfection, your kingdom forever. And we look forward to that great day. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.